When we think about intelligence in the sense of life on planet Earth, it would be tempting to think that the least intelligent of the species of life on Earth would also be the oldest, the microbes. One does not intuitively think something simple, without a brain, could display intelligence. But this is actually a mysterious area, and it would be a mistake to think of all microbes as unthinking biological machines processing chemicals. It actually digs far deeper than that. In fact, they sometimes do exhibit something resembling intelligence, including cell adaptation and even cooperative behavior, sometimes even in cells that are not like them. And that's just in simple cells. It gets even more pronounced in complex cells like algae, which show themselves able to adapt and organize even under changing conditions. There are even amoebae that show some of the hallmarks, apparently, of much more complex life that intuitively they should not be able to do with what they have to work with biologically. A good bet is that most of this occurs through chemical signaling, and there is a tendency for it to not be individual microbes doing it, but group behavior. There have also been suggestions that these groups of microbes might function something like a neural network, working on chemical signaling. A bacteria takes in a chemical signal from another bacteria, it processes it, and then it expresses it, which is then taken up by other bacteria, and the process continues. As an aside, natural ant colonies, which is a much more complex creature than a microbe, actually use chemical signaling in the form of pheromones. Indeed, lots of the animal kingdom does, and while it's not necessarily conscious, it gets the message across very effectively. It might even be superior to vocalization in some ways. That gets something close to a form of chemical communication. This forces a question about alien life. Chemical communication runs throughout biology, even just the sense of smell in animals. This may be able to, with the right evolutionary process, become drastically complex. And in the absence of ways humans evolved to communicate in other ways, one can envision an intelligent alien species that only communicates chemically. This is bad news for SETI, because trying to translate chemical communications to a decipherable radio signal would be orders of magnitude worse than with an intelligent technological species doing it with language. Indeed, harder than even trying to communicate with a whale from our own planet that at least does work on vocalization. That said, there are a number of interesting examples of bacteria showing some kind of swarm intelligence. There is a bacteria, Bacillus subtilis, that uses electrical signals to synchronize growth in such a way that the biofilm it does form does not allow the innermost cells of the biofilm to starve. In some ways, that almost seems like an organized effort, but in cases of some bacterial colonies, if the nutrients become scarce, they can actually organize to maximize their ability to harvest those nutrients. One interesting area here is that bacteria actually can swap genes. And one big area where this can happen is in antibiotic resistance. But they can do it with other bacteria that aren't the same species, as can groups of different species of bacteria that can basically hunt, like pack animals or swarms, exhibiting all sorts of chemical signaling. There's even a kind of working chemical memory involved with some colonies of bacteria. In 2020, when scientists basically shined a light on a film of bacteria, the effect of it lasted for hours as a kind of memory because of changes in the potassium channels of the bacteria. The end result? A kind of memory shared across millions of bacteria. It pays to remember these are chemical tricks, if you will. But we don't really know how memory happens in the human brain, other than there must be some chemical component to it as well, and neurons are indeed cells at the end of the day. Somehow, though, they remember, imperfectly as human memory can be. One really intriguing example is the single-celled organism Stentor roselli. This ciliate can form a group hierarchy that can actually change its mind. If you introduce an irritant into a culture, if the first response to it doesn't work, it will move to a different response until it does work. As a result, this appears to be a rudimentary sense of cognition, though that is highly controversial, but the effect is repeatable. Another intriguing example is a paramecium, P. caudatum, that can recognize light and associate it with electric shocks delivered through whatever medium it's swimming in. in a Pavlov's dog kind of situation. Oddly, the same species cannot associate the same electric shocks with darkness. It's unknown why that is, because if it can sense light, it can also presumably sense the absence of light. Apparently not, somehow. And here's where this gets strange. It's actually possible to make use of these abilities in technology. There are models in evolutionary computing that mimic E. coli bacteria during their life cycle, and you can even build circuits of sorts with slime molds. But this very much scales up in the animal kingdom, and even artificial intelligence models and robotics. At its most basic, a swarm intelligence is a group of agents that act with each other and their environment, but without any centralized control over any of the individuals. You would expect this to be totally random for a non-intelligent robot, a subfield known as swarm robotics, but it turns out that intelligent behavior globally can result in patterns of behavior. This, of course, also happens extensively in nature. Bee colonies, flocks of birds, herds of animals, schools of fish all exhibit swarm intelligence. There is one specific term here first coined by Craig Reynolds in 1986, Boids, short for birdoid object, because of the flocking behavior of birds. That is artificial. Basically, you give a group of robots a group of simple rules and let them do their thing, and what results is emergent behavior patterns. The rules in their most simplest form are, 1. You need to steer to avoid crowding, the ability to recognize the general alignment of the other flock mates and steer towards it, and finally seek to move to the center of mass of the flock mates. You can add more rules, but those are the most basic needed to achieve aggregate behavior from the flock. That's robots, but incidentally, by virtue of being alive, flocking birds can do much more than this. Some species, such as the North American Canada goose, are able to flock in such a way, in this case the famous V formation, because that is the optimum configuration to save energy. Basically, the line of geese in the V are taking advantage of riding the air current upwash of the bird in front of them, resulting in increased lift and energy conservation to the point that flocks of geese have 70% greater ranges than lone geese. There is also a suspected advantage in communication to the V formation, and I live inside their natural range, as most Americans and Canadians do, and it's fun to see how they operate their formation. Birds that are getting a bit tired fall back and others move up and take their place, and so on. In regards to swarming, even in animals, there's actually a type of self-propelled particle called an SPP that was introduced conceptually in 1995 by Vicksack and colleagues, building on Reynolds. In these models, the boids or animals can react to perturbations that are random, and the objects, say entities, respond in increments to the direction of motion of the non-disturbed entity swarm. This actually leads to all sorts of interesting emergent behaviors from the swarm, and yet, it shows some universality among groups. They all seem to arrive at the same overall general conclusion. In humans, there is a different concept. If you network a group of humans with the aid of algorithms inspired by natural swarms, you get the beginnings of what might look something like the Borg Collective from Star Trek. Basically, a bunch of humans hear a question and the response, but with the analysis and aid of an algorithm. This shows up in things like betting on sports and financial forecasts. In medical science, it can actually allow a group of doctors to more accurately diagnose illnesses. In military applications, the utility of swarm intelligence is obvious. Drone swarms working in a concerted effort. But even in space, the European Space Agency has done work regarding both interferometers, arrays of telescopes and things like that, but also self-assembly, the beginning of a von Neumann probe, essentially. In nanotechnology, the advantages are even clearer. You could have nanobots in the bloodstream to coordinate a concerted effort to more effectively treat cancers in place, directly from the bloodstream. This opens the way for preventative treatment of diseases in the future, and what might befall future humans as far as illness is mitigated before the person even knew they were sick. Ultimately, swarm intelligence offers efficiency. Things can happen faster under it. But it's yet another technology that could follow in the path of AI and get out of hand and go overboard very quickly. It's worth noting, however, that swarm intelligence is not the same as the popular science fiction trope of a hive mind. Related, but not really the same. To a degree, we already have the most basic form of this, networked intelligence, and it's how we built all human civilizations, a concerted effort by individual components. Now, you can think of it like a company. Companies have hundreds or thousands or more employees, but we look collectively at the effort as the company itself. Walmart has 2.1 million employees, but we still refer to the whole thing as Walmart. But we have also taken a step further, well within my living memory, which is the widespread adoption of the internet, which is an increase in efficiency in some ways to cooperative human networked intelligence. It's a very different world today than it was in 1985, even though for those that don't remember it, it actually took years for the adoption of the internet to occur. It was more gradual than some might think. But as the interconnected world becomes increasingly efficient through technology, humans will naturally find new ways to communicate and network, and that leads to tropes like the Borg, though they weren't a hive mind for individuals still in control of their reality. Rather, they were automatons living in a collective non-reality. But it's interesting to contemplate building a global hive mind like that, because it very likely would, and in Star Trek canon did, splinter. This is actually a far worse problem than Star Trek needed to tackle, however, because the realities of physics eventually force splintering. The first problem is that not everyone in a hive mind thinks in lockstep. If they were still biological humans that had not fundamentally changed their overall nature. We rarely all agree on the same thing as humans, and that does not go away in a hive mind situation that isn't being overall controlled by something else, which is a different idea than either swarm intelligence or collective thinking, in which case it's just automatons that were once human. But there are also such things as groupthink in human psychology. But where the laws of physics come into play is the speed of light limit. Speed is everything in a hive mind, and if you have an entire planet engaged in a hive mind society, say through brain interfaces, then it's not a big deal to communicate across the network at the speed of light. Planets like Earth aren't that big, and the effect wouldn't be pronounced. But it would become an increasingly worse problem for a multi-planetary hive mind. And basically an untenable thing to do with any real efficiency at interstellar distances. You just don't have the communications times. The Borg and Starfleet all got past this by using subspace communications that were faster than light. But that's a trope, and we do not have any indication that could happen in the real world. And it's the same with any swarm intelligence. Get out of the range of the chemical or other signaling, and the swarm behavior is no longer viable because it starts to slow down in communications. And within this comes an interesting solution to the Great Silence, the Milky Way. If chemical communications are the norm for most species as opposed to verbal communications, and humans are the outlier, then no wonder we see silence. We simply do not work on the same rules as most other intelligent species. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently eyeing the Canada Goose suspiciously as it eyes me back angrily. I love watching them fly over in their Vs during migration, but they can be cantankerous if you encounter them on the ground. And seeing them at night is astounding in a city because the city lights reflecting off them, and they often don't honk at night. It just looks like an undulating cloud passing very rapidly over. If you've ever seen that, let me know in the comments, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations of the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.